Thank you for joining us for Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something and where we cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. We're broadcasting from the Twin Cities Film Fest studios. I'm Ms. Shannon, and I'm here with my good friend, co-host, and executive director of the Twin Cities Film Fest, Jayton Satya. Jayton, I am so excited to talk to you. Okay, look.
Because it's so snowy outside, and it's just, we don't have no, like, we literally are getting, like, notices from the city to be like, put your garbage cans in and accept all these spaces. And like, well, what's left? You right. can't put it in the street. You
yeah,
can't
the snow
put it
banks
on a snow
are so
bank.
High.
You can't, like, I don't know what to do. We can't. Mm. Anyways, what are you excited
Here's
about?
Here's why. Okay. So we're going to talk about a couple of things today here on BR Geek. And so we appreciate everybody being part of the show. So Jayton, we haven't had a chance for you and I to really have a friend-to-friend, heart-to-heart conversation about what went down at the Oscars.
Oh,
so I want to cover that.
Yeah.
We also had some good news on some things that might be coming to some of our favorite streaming platforms.
Yes.
And so that, in addition to the fact that our winter has been so incredibly brutal here in the Twin Cities, I thought this would be a good time for us to do a show on what should I be streaming. What should I be streaming? So
darn.
I will give you some suggestions.
Okay.
You can give me some suggestions.
Cool.
And you had brought up a good, a little friend, frenemy type challenge that you and I could do. And I thought this was a great idea. So we're going to cover that in the second segment.
Cool.
And I think that that'll be fun. But first, let's do this in the first segment. Let's go ahead and talk about, of course, what happened at... What was it? The 91st, 9001st, 91 hour long Oscars.
It was shorter.
It was shorter.
The ratings were up.
Yes. And so I do want to talk about a couple of things, right? I want to talk about, one, why do we think the ratings were up? Do we think that the ratings are up because it backed itself into what it was trying to do by adding in that, that ill-fated best... most popular picture. Remember, so when they had added in that category, that was going to be most popular film, blah blah blah. Part of what they seemed to be trying to do was to try and make sure that people were seeing films on the Oscars.
Yes,
that related to what laymen we might call them
just
and
movie,
regular people
movie
would
people
see.
Go see.
Right. So, and then people said, "No, don't do that."
No.
But even though they didn't have that actually category, a lot of popular films
they were up
were
there for now. Yeah, they were
right.
up there for now. Obviously, Black Panther being the number
the
one,
most, yes.
the most just eye popping,
right.
quote unquote popular film.
Right.
It did take home a few
yes.
Oscars.
Yes,
which
congratulations
is very
to all
cool.
of that.
I think it was production design and costume. I believe.
And I do think that also what was interesting about it, like Oscars did do a better job of squashing some of its recurring problems. So I don't feel as though we did have as much of a hashtag Oscars so white, a hashtag only, you know, whatever.
It was
the
a
man's
good word. Diverse.
It was the most diverse in quite some time, obviously.
Yes.
Yes.
yes. Yeah, I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody
yes.
is another one of those films that obviously very well acted, based on a true story. And that's what this is kind of the Oscar formula, per se, is you go off of either based on true stories or characters that are
right.
based on real life. That's your old formula, but if you put it into more of a pop culture phenomena like Queen,
yes.
right? Like if you put it into that mix, I think it's appropriate for them to have that particular film be nominated for Best Film, and Rami Malek, of course, won Best Actor, which wasn't a surprise to anybody. I think
right.
he was a front runner.
I'm glad that he didn't really hurt himself when he was so excited and fell down the
oh
stairs
my God,
afterwards.
Did you see that?
I did. I was like, ooh.
I went back and watched it like four times.
You know, and I'll be honest too, as your friend, I watch it too
yeah.
because I do. And this, we should knock on all the wood. I do
yes.
enjoy it when someone falls and you know they're okay.
Well,
like you don't. I don't enjoy people being hurt.
There's
but something that turns into a natural pratfall.
Yes.
There is a joy in watching
no,
people.
No, there isn't. Just like was it Jennifer Lawrence tripping up when she accepted the Best Actress award a few years ago?
There
you know,
is
it's
something
just like,
about
but that's
it.
Just being human, right? Mm-hmm. Bring these Hollywood elites, per se, or these, you know, why are we watching somebody else's profession give them awards.
Right.
That's always the key thing to me. I used to be in corporate America. I'm like, yeah, we have our accounting awards and whatever awards. Nobody's chiming in, seeing that stuff.
No.
But we put these individuals on a higher pedestal, but to see them being human, like, yep, they make mistakes. Yep, they have, you know, wardrobe malfunctions.
Right.
It humanizes them and actually connects them with the stories that they're trying
and
to
it
tell.
Was, you know, they did actually follow through on what they said, which was to make it a shorter presentation. So it was a
which
little
I
more
enjoyed.
Streamlined. I did as well. I will be honest with you. I still don't think they should show all of those behind the scenes thing. As we learned from who was it? They got up there, not the costume designers, but they had the worst, you know, and I'm going to misquote it, but those people that got up there, they had the award and just rambled.
Oh, good
They were
Lord.
Worse. And that they, was like. And,
yeah.
And
yeah.
when they did it, and I was like, this yeah, is why we don't let non-talkers talk. So,
yeah, that was the most awkward speech.
It should have been in the commercial break, and then I wouldn't have had to watch it. And
yes.
now we go. Okay.
But you get to talk about it afterwards and how bad it was. And sometimes those are the things that people talk about more. It's like, what was the worst part of the thing?
I still like the idea that we came up on our last show where I thought that they should just stay in their seat and we hand them the mic. I told my friend that he
I
thought that was
should,
so mean.
And I wanted to, let's go, I had another idea.
Okay, what do you think?
Same thing. So people stand up and recognize and there's somebody handing the microphone
right.
just to say something. While they're saying whatever their speech is, there's a drone that flies the Oscar from the stage to to them,
and it just
like drops like it, and by the time it hits their hand is when they're supposed to stop speaking.
Oh, I like that.
So you
either catch your Oscar or keep talking.
Keep talking. It's gonna break, or you're gonna
well
catch
done.
It.
I like that, and it'll make it a nice little adventure.
It makes it a sport out of it. We can all bet on it on
yes.
the side.
It's like when you watch somebody doing one of those claw games,
yes.
and you're like, will they
totally.
Win something? Well done, Jane. Yeah. We need to send him an email on
that's
that.
When you take a vacation, you clarify a few more things.
Yeah, because then we can have a new hashtag. Oscar's so fun. Oscar's so fun.
I watched the Oscars in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
I was on vacation.
I'm surprised that you really did, because you said you were going to watch it.
Oh.
Just in warmer climes. I was expecting to not watch
it. I was
really
in Cancun, so it was an Eastern time zone. And by that time, we've kind of spent all day outside. We were all pooped. I have a 5-year-old.
Yes.
So by the time, early dinner, 6:30, we were the early birds having early dinner. and in our room by, you know, 8 o'clock, and then just kind of relaxing, not necessarily going to sleep. But that's when the Oscars were on. But here's, I don't know how to take this. So we were watching the Oscars live on Azteca Television, which
okay.
is a Spanish television. And so they had their red carpet in Spanish. And then they had the Oscars, all the performances in the Oscars were live. And so they were in English. Everything else was dubbed over. So as the presenter announced the winner, you could hear the English
yes.
coming through like it's live.
Right.
Right. But then somebody else would just come to go,
nice.
And
okay.
It would just be right over. So
yes.
it was sometimes hard to, I missed all the speeches because I don't know how to speak Spanish. I knew who the winners were.
Yes.
And I was excited about some of them and I was disappointed with the others and just your normal
by
up and downs.
By not hearing the actual speeches, did you feel as though you missed something?
I did.
Okay. All
I
right.
Because
okay.
the speech that I went back and I heard was Spike Lee's.
Yes.
Right. Because I
yes.
completely missed it. Like I couldn't understand because I don't speak Spanish. Right. So
correct.
I just
yes,
couldn't
fair
understand
enough.
It. Even mm-hmm. if you did understand that language that you're listening into, you miss something in context.
Right.
If it's not in the same original language that is being delivered to you. So I went back and I watched that particular speech. I went back and I watched. Olivia Colman's
yes.
Speech again. I was glad that I didn't listen to the one that droned on and on and
oh,
on.
Yeah.
You know,
it
I was
no
like,
sense.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I had it was an interesting, you know, yes, of course I watched the Oscars.
Yeah. Well, that's your job.
That's my job.
And I watched it, and I will tell you that then I got halfway through it, and my son, who turned 11 yesterday, he wanted nothing to do with
very
it.
Cool.
Thank you. He was bored and made us turn us off so we could watch Sherlock Gnomes. He was like, and I was like, okay.
That's not a bad
choice. I tried. I'm like, Mom wanted to watch this, but I couldn't fault him. He was tired of watching it, and I wasn't.
Makes sense.
And I was at that point not so invested in it that I was willing to go and go in the other room and watch it by myself without him. So I decided I'd watch it later.
I know there were some films that you were hoping they would win certain things. There were certain films that you really didn't feel comfortable they should be even up there, or you didn't like them, and that's fine. That's, you know, just the way it works.
And once I got to this particular, I got at peace with most of my emotional feelings about these things. And I had really, I was one of those people that by the time the actual night of the award show came on, I was cool with just about anything. I did have people that I would prefer to win, but I had got that point gotten on board with the bandwagon of any movie for Best Picture except Green Book.
Sure.
I was on that bandwagon. And I saw Green Book. I appreciate the fact that you brought it to the Twin Cities Film Fest. And I think, again, we just want to remind everybody what a great job you guys do of selecting your films, because you really do pick these amazing, buzzworthy films.
Right.
And we had this discussion about Green Book at the time, and where I found it to be an entertaining film, but I had problems with some of it that had nothing to do with the acting.
Yep.
It didn't have to do with the casting.
Yep.
I found part of the subject, the way that they handled the subject, to Disney-fy racism, and yep, I find it, I found the movie to be very dissatisfying to me personally.
I agree.
Yeah.
To a lot of what you just said. For us, and if people don't realize, because we've gotten some Facebook messages on like, hey, I love the film festival, but let's talk about why this film was selected. I'm like, well, here's the deal. There's a plenty of there's not just like, hey, it's got Marshall Ali in it, let's just put it in. Hey, it's got right. Vigo in it, just put it in. Hey, it's got Jim Burke, who's a Minnesota producer, let's put it in. It's that plus a thousand other things that go along making a decision on what particular film we're going to showcase, what studios are allowing us to showcase, what time slots, what days.
Right.
And again, what's going to get the buzz for the festival for other films. This is one of 120 films that we showed. And we showed The Favorite, right, which
yes,
was up for Best Picture.
Right.
We showed If Beale Street Could Talk.
Right.
We showed, now, The Green Book got the most notoriety just because it was our opening night film, because I couldn't get If Beale Street Could Talk to be the opening night film. Because
right,
I couldn't get, not that I didn't want Green Book. Any of these Oscar-nominated films that we end up showing, I want them to have the highest profile, because it gives the festival, which essentially is an independent film festival, right? So we're ideally bringing in the media, which brings in the crowds, which brings in more people to see some of the independent films. And we use these bigger films as tentpole films to drive that overall media attention to the festival.
And I think it's great that you do bring those kind of things in, and not only do you show the film, you do a question and answer, and you give us a chance to get access to it. And if not cast members or producers or directors or writers, if not that, people who are within the industry are part of that conversation as well. And that's why I felt comfortable in my decision on how I felt about Green Book. I do want films like this to be continue to be made, and I appreciated the fact that I got to see it and to see it in the setting that I saw it in.
Yeah.
Because that colored a lot of my feelings on the film, was the way that I saw that it made other people respond to things.
Correct. And it's the discourse afterwards,
right,
as well, too. So any, if you go watch the, if you watch Green Book in a theater, ideally in a theater, and you, it was like a 9 p.m. screening on a Wednesday, you saw it with maybe 10 other people.
Right.
Wednesday, 9 p.m. screening. That's a different perspective on a film, depending on how you're walking into it with preconceived notions on what you think you're going to think of it, than to walk into a 6 p.m. Crowded house with a filmmaker there, and then actually having that discourse with a filmmaker and having the opportunity to ask some of these directed questions. That's a different vibe,
right,
and actually gets you a different, not even respect, because you still may hate the film afterwards, but respect in the fact that the film maker did what they thought was appropriate.
Right.
Right. Now, again, could it be misguided? Sure. There's plenty of films that we show that we even say, hey, I don't know if we agree with this, but based on these things, they check off so many boxes to qualify to be shown at our festival.
Right.
We're going to show it. We're going to actually have a discourse afterwards, because that's what we need nowadays, is a civil discourse. So
right,
I'm very proud of the fact that we showed Green Book.
Yes.
Very proud of the fact that we had as opening that film. Very proud of the fact that it won the best audience award at our festival. And that's
yes,
just voting. So that's nothing that the Twin Cities Film Fest is. That's the audience members. Now, again, our festival showed this in late October, right?
Right.
Mid-October, October 16th. anything after that was done, we have no control over anything that was found out after the film or the hate, quote unquote, hate that it got after. It doesn't matter. They already showed it at our festival, and there was a reasoning we showed
it. What I think is interesting about it, as someone who got to see it a little earlier, is that I still don't hate the film. I found it problematic.
Well, Mahershala Ali winning, you know, the first African American to win two Best Supporting Actors in last, you know, in 3 years, it's the first. I mean,
and
he's a great actor.
And Viggo Mortensen, who was in it as well, I thought the performances of the entire cast was appropriate for what they were given to do, and you know, so do I think we could have done more? Yeah, we had these conversations when I first saw the film.
You can always do more,
right? And so, can the film do better? Yes. Do I think that the story needed to be told? Yes. Could I understand, especially since I was in the room and got to talk to the people who produced it and the directors, there are things where I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you a pass because you're attempting to tell a different person's story. I don't think that's the... I wanted to see another story as well, and hopefully somebody makes that.
Well, I think this is where like people are like, well, Black Klansman should have won. Now, in my opinion, Spike Lee is one of our premier directors, period. Just
right.
Period. That being said, I didn't love Black Klansman.
I get that. I liked it.
I can go argue back and forth to be like, I think if Beale Street Could Talk with Barry Jenkins could have easily swapped places with Black Klansman for Best Picture.
But
I'm not going to make that. I can't. I've seen both of the films. Oscars could have easily put a ninth film in there and be... I mean, I have a hard soft spot for Beale Street because I think it's probably literally the best film of the year.
Can I tell you my thing about Now That I've Seen Beale Street?
Yeah, have you seen it? I haven't talked to you since you've
seen it. Here's my thing about Beale Street is that I would understand why it would have been more of a Black Picture... I mean, a Best Picture contender than Black Klansman because I feel like it is more... I felt it had the tone and tenor of what a historic Best Picture type film would be. Like, when you're watching the cinematography of that and Roma, and I want to talk about the controversy about Roma and those kind of projects as well, Beale Street, you could tell that they worried about how do the colors look? Where do we place the cameras? How do we tell this story? How do I work with silence? How do I work? There was a lot of that going on, which made me go, I understand the craftsmanship behind this type of film that was made on like a $250 budget,
yep.
You know, in comparison to what we have on, you know, when you're in the machine of what happens with Black Panther,
sure.
Even. And even like what you could do with a Black Klansman versus a what they did with If Beale Street Could Talk.
Or Roma.
Like, again,
the whole streaming thing, because Netflix never divulges exactly how many streams or how much money they actually make or how much money they actually put into these movies. Roma didn't look like it was done on a $250 budget.
No, it did not. Know? No, that looked... Let's pivot to that conversation.
Yeah.
For anybody that's listening to BR Geek right now, the other thing that's going on about, we are, you know, Jayton and I are doing our Oscars recap. So I was reading last night about Steven Spielberg, and he is being very outspoken about the fact that he thinks that films like Roma should not be in the same category of other films that have theatrical releases. And here's what I wanted to ask you, Jayton, because there might be something about the interworkings of that industry that put more validity to what Steven Spielberg is saying than what I could tell from the variety of articles I was reading last night. Because my initial response from hearing him saying, well, no, it's not the same if it's streaming, part of me wants to say a movie is a movie is a movie. And I kind of feel like he's doing that, hey, get off my lawn. But is there something about the way, because Netflix did the bare minimum to make itself qualified. Didn't do like a mini release of it out in the theaters?
Yeah, it did like a 2 week release or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. So is there something that in that scenario handicaps the other films that elect to not be primarily streaming films? Like, is there something that I have to do differently as someone who is releasing it to the theaters? Are there certain caveats that I make so that I can get enough screens so I can do all? Does it put more of a burden on me than just trying to and to directly be able to distribute it through a particular streaming service?
You know, I could flip a coin.
Okay.
It's so I understand what the big hoopla is about with Spielberg saying you know, they don't qualify because they only had a on-demand release. And
right.
The traditional way is through theater, but I go back the other way and I go look at my independent filmmakers that showcase films at our festival or any festival that I visit. It's a lot. And we were actually talking about, you know, writing books. Now you can be a self-published author on Amazon. Now, does that make you less of an author? Does that mean the story shouldn't be told? I think the opposite. I think the more platforms, the more opportunities to get these stories told. Now, it does get diluted in the world of like, now again, we'll talk about our Netflix binge shows or Hulu binge shows, you know, a little bit later. But I might find a gem in there that I might recommend to you because Netflix says you have 97%, you know, likelihood that you'll like this movie based on this movie. We have Rotten Tomatoes that tell you, you know, you should you or should you not go watch any movie in theaters. So why can't we play in both realms? I'm not a traditionalist. I think we should just work for the art. Whatever the artist needs, let's give the artist what they need. And if the artist needs a distribution platform, now again, Netflix aside, Hulu aside, Amazon aside, these are distribution companies, you guys. These are not, they're bigger than your, you know, A24s. They're bigger than your Paramount or Fox Searchlight. They have more money than any, so you can't call these, you know, they're not independent by any means. They're big giant studios that are producing these things, and they've chosen a platform to say, again, if Disney, just let's go back to Disney.
Right.
Disney says, we're going to make the next 3 Star Wars available just on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Okay, would you not watch, like, would they not qualify for some of these things? Or would you not end up buying a Disney Plus if you're a Star Wars fan just to see it? Does that make the film less? It still has the same directors, same actors, same script writers, everything. The platform is now different because the times are changing.
Right.
You can't be that old man on the lawn saying, get off my lawn, kid.
Some people's home theaters are amazing.
But I understand, you know, you tend to project when you're scared.
Right.
Right, you tend to be completely against, 100% against something if you're scared that it's going to take over what you're doing.
Right.
But it shouldn't be that way, and that's a generational thing.
Right.
You know, with Cuarón, he's not much younger than Spielberg. I mean, I don't know, about a decade or so.
Mm-hmm.
Him seeing the benefit of telling his story through an online platform that gets him millions and millions and millions and millions of eyes on the prize.
Right.
He's already gotten paid. He's not bookended at the other end of like, hey, if it hits X amount of streaming views, I get an extra bump on my paycheck. No, he's just going to get a flat fee, an appropriate one.
Oh, yes.
Because it's Cuarón.
He's not hurt.
No, he's not. Nobody's hurting, especially in the Netflix or Amazon world. Good on him.
Right.
Good on him to take that opportunity to say, I have this, you know, he's been thinking about this particular project for decades.
Well, your track record of picking excellent films for the Twin Cities Film Fest has continued. And I'm sure that we will see it again when we come up in 2019.
Yeah, 10-year anniversary. I already have some studios saying, hey, congratulations. We have these films coming up in the fall, and you can't just make a decision based on that. You have to see how it does at, you know, at Cannes and Toronto and all these other festivals.
How, and one final thing before we go to our first break today, how did you end up doing in your film fantasy league that you were doing? How did that work out? Just to recap, we haven't talked about that for a couple of episodes.
So I...
just remind everybody what that is again. Your fantasy, what is it called? Your fantasy film league? Yeah. What do you call it?
Essentially, that's what it is. Instead of fantasy football, I pretend bet on movies. Right now, we're about halfway through the season, and I am number 2 out of 4.
Okay.
Which is not that bad, but a couple of my films did not do so well. Just in the box office. Again, you play by ear. I also did one for the Oscars.
Uh-huh. And, how did that go?
I was in the middle of the pack because I went too much. I should have gone with my gut as opposed to what
You thought other people would
So.
That's hard.
I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm the executive director of a film festival doesn't mean I'm good at this kind of stuff. I just
You don't have a magic. Magic eight ball. You don't have a crystal ball. Any of that stuff.
Nope.
All right. Well, we are going to go to break, and when we get back, we are going to talk about some things that we know are coming to Hulu, including something that includes one of your
our advisory board members.
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to talk about that when we return on Be Our Geek. Welcome back to Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something. I'm Ms. Shannon. Jayden Satia is here as we broadcast from the Twin Cities Film Fest Studios. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to our Oscars recap that we were doing at the beginning of the show. And now we're going to move into a new segment of the show, because we both did have a little bit of time, especially since this winter has been so brutal. I think we've both been binging a little more than we used to. And I think part of it, because we were having this discussion about what are we watching on streaming services right now, and that bench was a lot more shallow for each of us than I anticipated. And I think that's interesting because you and I both seem to watch a lot of movies.
I watch things all the time.
Right, but it seemed like we don't watch a lot of in-home series of films. Of shows. We don't watch those.
I only have a couple that, well, obviously with the Game of Thrones. Waiting on the new season, the last season to hit in April, May, something like that.
Yes.
But, you know, there's like two or three that I really like on a regular basis once they're released. I did it last year too, because I did the House of Cards. Even after
and
Kevin
I fell
Spacey.
Off of that. I fell off of it. Was it worth it? Did you like the transition with Robin Wright?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's still okay.
Robin Wright is great. So anyways.
That I binged, here's what I noticed about my binging. Although in film land, I'm all in on geek movies. I'll go see DC movies that I know I'm probably going to dislike, and I'll still go see it. Or I'll still go see Alita Battle Angel, even though it got reviews. You know, I still saw Mortal Engines, even though it got, you know, it's easy to get me to go and see one of those kind of films. It's difficult for me to sit down and spend the time to dive deep into a lot of these shows that I know pre-child Shannon would have watched. Before I had my kid, I would have binged. I would have watched every show that's out there. I'd have been knee deep in Gotham. I would know everything about Cloak and Dagger, all of these things. And so a lot of these shows, you know, I would know everything about the Arrow universe and been watching all of that and Legends of Tomorrow. All of these things are worthy things that I started watching and then fell off of. And so the last thing that I watched on Netflix is I did binge all of Russian Doll, which I tell everybody they should watch. I thought that was fantastic.
Okay.
And then I watch a lot of goofy, weird documentaries, like interesting, but you're like, why are you watching that docuseries? So I watch things on like the history of the Bible, where basically this British archaeologist picked apart the Bible. So that was fascinating. Or, you know, Morgan Freeman did a series on finding God, you know, kind of thing.
It's him.
It's, you know, and it's so interesting.
Look in the mirror, Morgan
because
Freeman.
It is when you watch Morgan Freeman do this show, like I watched it in spite of the fact that now we're kind of learning that maybe Morgan Freeman might be a little problematic, but the show is still interesting. And so I do find myself watching those, even if there is something that is in the geekly realm that I think I would enjoy, it's not what I binge. So first, let's talk about one of the things that I sent you this article, and I was very excited to see this. And so coming up on Hulu, we are going to have, they're going to revisit Howard the Duck. So I found this, the theme song from the 1986.
Wow.
Very polarizing film. That's our friend Leah Thompson singing the theme. Here she goes with her groove. Leah's hair is so big in this film. I loved this film. My mom should not have let me watch it.
Oh,
Okay, we can stop because it's going to give you earworms. And they're not good earworms. So that's from the 1980s.
Nobody's going to know what the hell you're doing.
No, that is when singing. You're singing that in your grocery store. Howard. No, yeah. You don't understand. So that's from the 1986 Howard the Duck film that had Leah Thompson in it. It had, like, I went back and rewatched part of it because I don't know if I have the energy. That was one of those things that, because it was on cable at the time, I watched it. I'm sure I've seen that 50 times because it was on all the time.
Likewise, right? I mean, yeah. I've seen it enough to know, I would say, almost every episode.
Right. But so you can watch that. Leah Thompson, Jeffrey Jones, Tim Robbins were on it. I don't think I need to watch it again.
I don't need to watch it again.
Mm-hmm. It's like Big Town and Little China, whatever that one was. That,
yeah.
That was a movie I know I saw 50 times. I don't need to go back.
I mean, like Saved by the Bell. Like, I don't need to go back and rewatch. I just know Jack existed. And
right. And people either have found a cult favorite in Howard the Duck because it is bananas, or they hate it, which is fair. It's not a good
it's
movie.
Polarizing,
it's not a good movie. It's everything. The minute you think it can't get any more ridiculous, it gets more ridiculous. The duck is lecherous. It's before women had agency. So Leah Thompson, who we love as a person, hot mess.
Yep.
Hot mess in this whole thing. This whole film is inappropriate. And then it's gross because Jeffrey.
So why is there a revival?
Well, see, here's
and
the thing.
Doing
and
this?
Actually, it's going to be completely different. So they're going to take this series now, and they're actually going to make an animated series now. And the animated series is going to be along with the a number of other projects that are coming to Marvel comic book projects that are coming to Hulu. So a Marvel.
So this is a Marvel project.
Yes.
Which
so
again,
they're
going to
do it.
Legitimacy just like that.
Right. And so they're going to actually be more true to the comic books, it sounds like. They've gotten the right collection of directors and writers and people that are involved in all of these, and they're doing the Howard the Duck. They're going to do a number of different series, including, let's see, I have that list. So they're going to do Tiger and Dazzler, Hitmonkey, and then MODOK, and they're doing this. And so they're going to bring all of these different things. They're going to do a series of original shows, and then they're going to culminate, and they're going to have a team-up special, and it's going to be called Marvel's The Offenders. And that is perfect, especially now that we know that we will not have The Defenders because Netflix dropped all of those. Now we'll get to do this. So now this Howard the Duck.
But this will be on Hulu.
So this is going to be on Hulu. And
Hulu's got some really good originals, by the way.
And it's going to be an animated series, so they can go wherever they need to go with it. And at the first person that they heard that they had brought on board was Kevin Smith, who I love Kevin Smith.
Likewise.
And I know that he is
a big fan.
Should
get Kevin Smith to the festival?
We should. Okay. And I know he is a big fan of the genre.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people, they go, all he had was Clerks. And then the rest of his movies are too out there, and we don't get it. And, you know, what was that Walrus thing he made, or Otter movie, or what? Like people turn on Kevin Smith.
One with Justin Long?
Yes. And so, you know, other than Clerks, and then his short-lived Clerks, the animated series thing, people are kind of like, I don't know. And then, so when they found out that Kevin Smith was going to do this, a lot of us got excited, and some people were like, oh, he's going to ruin it. But the other thing that's great about it is, he does seem so excited about this project, and I think that's fantastic. But they're not leaving him, like, out on his own, you know, about all this stuff. But it sounds like it's going to be adult-ish. It's supposed to be, again, very humor-based. It sounds like he's going all in on bringing all of their, if you were a fan of the Howard the Duck comic books, he is definitely trying to bring in all of those aspects into it, and I think that'll be, you know, super. And so I am on board with what he is doing.
So you sent me that article.
Yes.
I think I was in Mexico, maybe.
Yes, yeah. You were.
So you sent it to me, and
Here's the other thing that you'll like about it is that he is working on Howard the Duck along with Dave Willis. And Dave Willis, if you remember who he is, he actually worked on Aqua Teen Hunger Force, which is amazing. So it's not like they're not bringing in pedigree to do this. I mean, if he can make Aqua Teen Hunger Force, you know, awesome.
Oh, I'm wondering
having
if,
Dave
any of these,
Willis
if he can bring back some of the other, you know, Tim Robbins or some of the older.
Well, it sounds like he put some feelers out.
Okay.
And so I know that he had put some feelers out, according to his Instagram page, to Leah Thompson. And that is why I sent you this message, because I wanted to know what she thought about it, because all that she told, all that Kevin Smith said was, he said, and it said, I can't spoil where we're going, but I can tell you this. I already asked movie Howard heroine Leah Thompson to lend her vocal Quack Foo, and she did not say no. That's all he said. That's all. She did not say no.
So I'm gonna drop a little bit more, fire to the flame.
Okay. So and remember, so, this is, remind everybody why you even know Leah Thompson.
So Leah Thompson is Leah's a Minnesota native. Was born here, grew up here with her sisters, moved out to L.A. I think we brought her. The Twin Cities Film Fest brought her here for a Lifetime Achievement Award a few years ago, and then the year after that, or 2 years after that, we actually premiered for the opening night film of our festival a couple years ago, The Year of Spectacular Men, which she directed with her daughter Madeline, who wrote it, and then Zoe Deutsch, her other daughter, who was starring in it. So it was a family affair. We brought them all here for the opening night celebrations, and she's just become a really good friend.
Right.
Of the festival and a good friend of mine as well. So when you sent me that
Howard the Duck story,
I think you and I briefly went back on text to say, I wonder what Leah thinks about this. And again, I don't want to be presumptuous and just text Leah. And let's just see what she thinks, right?
Yes.
So I messaged her.
Okay.
And I said, hey, Leah. And she knows we have a podcast.
Okay.
So I said, hey, on my podcast, we're going to briefly discuss Howard the Duck's revival. Do you have any thoughts? And I did a little winky eye emoji. And she emailed right away.
Yes.
And this is Leah Thompson's words.
Okay.
So quote,
I'm ready.
Quote, so excited about the new animated series on Hulu. I was working alongside Kevin Smith as we were both directing the Goldbergs episodes back to back. He didn't mention it, but we talked after it was announced.
Okay.
And we were both excited at the prospect of me working on it at some capacity.
Oh, fun. Okay.
So
that's enough. And I will be fine with that. There's nothing that says that she needs to come back and voice her character all the way. I'm sure they're going to put it in a different thing. And love Leah. This was not her finest moment.
No.
You know, it was like she was fine in it, but the movie's a hot mess. So I'm sure she's not going.
I think she's excited.
She's not living off that Howard the Duck money.
No, and she's now directing more episodics,
yes.
And so she's busy.
Right.
So it's not like she needs Howard the Duck revival.
But
to
if
come
she
back.
Popped in, that'd be fun.
But I think she would also enjoy it, knowing that was, you know, when you think of Leah Thompson, you think of Back to the Future, and you think of Howard the Duck and Caroline in the City.
Yes.
And so Howard the Duck is in the mix,
right,
of like when people think about Leah Thompson, it's part of her history.
Because even if you don't love the movie, and I love it in a very particular way, like I love certain terrible things. There are certain terrible things that I know this is terrible. I will add this, the Star Wars Holiday Special. There are things that I love that are fantastic, like The Princess Bride. Howard the Duck and the Star Wars Holiday Special, I love because they're terrible.
Yeah.
And they're terrible in a way that I find so amazingly charming that I love them. I chew up Howard the Duck. Like, I was so excited about this. And so I'm glad that she looks
She's
at it back in
it.
Her history,
yeah.
And she goes, yeah, this was this fun romp, and it's this
there
quirky
could easily
thing
be,
I did.
I mean, some bigger actors don't want to think about a few projects that they've done in the past.
Right.
And that's fine. It's their, you know, they choose to elect to spotlight a few things and not think about the other ones existed. But I think as a true artist, you think that every single thing you do are making you a better actor.
Yes.
Better at what you're doing. And you're sometimes taking on projects that you may or may not be proud of at the moment or even in the future. I mean, that doesn't matter. In the moment, it gets you a job.
Right.
It gets you to showcase your talent. It gets you ideally to your next thing. And for me, I think about anything I've done in the past, whether it be, I used to do marketing on the side of the road. I used to do promotional gigs where I used to travel the country in a 15-foot box truck. I did corporate America. All of those things
got
me
to... Oh, my gosh. I'm a comedian. I've been in the middle of nowhere talking in front of three people in a casino you've never heard of. So,
but I think that's what makes us now who we are. And, again, would I relive it? Of course. Otherwise, I wouldn't be who I am right now.
Right.
So... good for her to say, you know what, let's just see what we can do.
I also love the charm of being able to tell the story that now we know this amazing director that does this really charming work. And we're like, but she was also the Howard the Duck lady. And that's, I like that story to show the breadth of what you do in a lifetime.
I agree. I 100% go, agree with
because,
you.
Because, I mean, I, you know, what would make me want to have her sign something is, when I was a kid, I saw you in Howard the Duck. Like, oh, you should go and talk to my mom. My mom shouldn't have let me watch Howard the Duck. You know, kind of thing. My mom should have changed the channel. You know, but because there's everything wrong with it. He's a lech. And probably why I have bad relationships.
Well, let's just see what the new. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what Kevin Smith can do with this.
Well, I'm excited to see those as well. And that was enough to make me continue my Hulu. I had put Hulu on pause. Remember,
okay.
I think I talked to you about that. Because
so
I had
many
Hulu.
Options now,
I had Hulu for a very particular reason.
For a very particular reason.
Right,
and so stopped it.
That particular reason had expired. I was actually watching, back to Geek Things, I was watching Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
Okay.
And so I got
that. I don't think
I know. You know, I was a big fan of those Douglas Adams books.
Got it.
So I was, you know, and it's they did two seasons. I watched that show. I thought I would watch other things on Hulu. Some of the other things that I thought were going to be on Hulu were not on Hulu.
Got
and
it.
So for me, I'm like so many other people out there, and I think that we are going to continue to have this come up as things continue to spin off into more segregated streaming services. As we continue to have CBS All Access, we continue to have Disney, Disney Plus, we continue to have
HBO,
DC,
Showtime. Yep.
There are so many things that it does kind of get to the point that you are back to, what am I actively going to watch? And so there are some shows out there that I think I really should watch that I have not. And so I'm curious to see what you think. And I thought that this was a good way for us to reignite a challenge that you and I had had as friends where we said, okay, so do you want to tell everybody what your suggestion was? Or
you can go ahead.
Okay,
you can go ahead.
So this is what you brought up. It's very cool.
We finessed it since.
Yeah, so you said, you came with this idea, we should do a segment on what I should be streaming.
Yep.
So we'll each will make a suggestion.
Pass
you and
the
I
password.
Have we have passed the password because we have some competing
streaming
services. So I can make a suggestion to you. I will give you my password.
Yep.
And then you can watch that show.
Yep.
And then
and
you
we'll,
will do the same
there's
for me.
Minimum episodes that you have to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't give up on in the first episode. Like there's minimums. And you have a week.
You have a week. And then we're changing our passwords.
Right.
So
essentially,
and that's a good way to hem us in because if we don't have a deadline, we're both busy parents.
Correct.
We won't do it if we have it too dark.
And it actually helps for me. Again, I go back to the film festival model, and festivals are more important now than ever because there's so much content out there, especially in the independent world, that we're curating it for you. We're essentially saying, this is past the muster on all these things for us. Story and production value, and it will be engaging. We're not telling you how to feel about it, you know, good or bad, but you will have you will have feelings afterwards, which is a good thing. And you should give this a try, right? That being said, I like it when it comes curated to me, especially from a person and or an entity and or a individual or even a Netflix recommendation algorithm. That comes to my liking of things.
Okay.
But
right.
I'm very open to exploring things that has nothing to do with what I've watched in the past.
All right. So now here's the part that we didn't talk all the way through ahead of time. So we have to go, what streaming services do we have and what do we not?
Sure.
Do you have CBS All Access?
I do not.
Okay. Then I am going to start with that one.
Okay.
Because I will give you my CBS All Access password.
Okay.
But then you need to watch Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Star Trek Discovery is a very worthy show. It's worth watching, especially as we move into what we're doing with this new season.
Okay. And how many seasons has already been?
We're in two.
Got it.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not like Game of Thrones where you have years and years to watch. And I'm even going to let you pop through it. Like, you can watch it because it's
some
of these episodes are kind of long. Like, the first one was like 2 hours long.
Okay.
But I think
that's
it looks amazing.
Let's set up.
I think it looks amazing.
The lead actress in it starts with an S, her first name.
I know who you
name.
Mean, and I saw her when she was at New York Comic Con, and I will forget her name
right
now. So that is what I think that we should watch on CBS All
Access. I have access to her if we ever want.
Yes.
her to join any kind of.
Because I saw her panel and she was amazing. She was on a panel with Michelle Yeoh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and was fantastic and really was what made me want to start watching the show.
Because
I had not watched it, because I did not want to get another streaming service.
If your lead actor is a dick, you don't want to watch the show.
You're like, I'm like, I don't like you. I don't like you, and I'm sorry that they let you talk at the panel because now I'm not going to spend an extra $10 a month.
All right, I'm excited about the Discovery
I think you'll love it.
Cool.
You'll love it. There's a couple of quirky parts. I don't necessarily love the way that they portrayed the Klingons, but I get what they're doing.
Okay.
So I'm okay with it. Okay. And it gets a little weird timey-wimey for even as a Doctor Who fan, that, but I think you'll really like this show.
All right.
So, your turn.
Do you, I'm going to say, and then you probably have this, you have Netflix, I'm assuming.
I have Netflix.
So have you watched the show Narcos?
No.
So I want you to watch Narcos Mexico.
Okay.
The newest season.
Why?
It has nothing to do with the other two seasons that exist, other three seasons.
And that has one of the gentlemen from Ant-Man and the Wasp in it, right? I feel
Diego
like he was
Luna.
In it. Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay.
He's such a great actor.
Okay.
He's probably one of my favorite actors. So Narcos is about the narcotics industry. And the first three seasons were Colombian narcotics, so cocaine and Pablo Escobar. And all. So this is a narrative. This is based on true stories or based on true characters. But again, amplified a little based on what we know and then filled in the gaps with acting and scripts.
Is this one of those heavy shows, like the reason I stopped watching Breaking Bad? Is it going to make me sad?
It is. It's real life. It is, again, it's the narcotics world, so there's a lot of drugs and violence. So if you, but I just want you to, again, the acting is phenomenal. I don't know if you'll watch the whole 10, they're each 1 hour long episodes.
Okay.
There's 10 of them. And the Mexico one is more about, it's about marijuana.
Okay.
And it's about the first ever Mexican drug cartel.
Okay.
That Diego Luna's character starts.
All right.
Basically, he goes from all these compartmentalized ways that these drug traffickers are making money to a central, he's the one who puts it all together and makes all these compartmentalized regions work together as one to create this big giant cartel.
Okay, so we have two homework assignments.
It's the business behind it.
Okay, so we have two homework assignments. We have something that I've watched, something that you watched, and we're going to trade. And then I have a homework assignment for both of us because I feel like we're missing something. So let's start with, okay, because we already are going to both have to do Hulu again because we have all of these Marvel shows. Here's another show that I think that we should watch. I think we should watch The Umbrella Academy.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Uh-huh. I feel like that should be a show that, when you talk about,
what
we do a geek.
Is that on?
That's on Netflix.
Great. Okay.
So that'll make it easier because I feel like there's something about that show and the buzz that it's getting.
So it already got picked up for season two, I think.
Right. And, you know, and the stories that are happening about that show, us as geeks should be watching that show,
done.
I think.
All right.
So I think we start with that. I think this is a recurring segment that we're going to have to hold each other accountable for because
there's some
things that we're there's no reason we're not watching.
Let's put minimums on right now, right? So knowing how busy we are and all that, knowing that we do watch content to get away from our daily, but that's something we enjoy.
Okay.
Minimum of for next week, 2 episodes.
Yes. Let's do this. Oh, 2 episodes of each or? Okay.
Two.
How about this? Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's do, there's so many of all these things. Let's do, in a week, 1 Star Trek Discovery.
Yep.
1 Narcos.
Narcos Mexico.
And then we each will see how far we get into Umbrella Academy.
Let's do it.
Maybe one of these things will take off and we'll just go down a rabbit hole and go, I watched all of them like we did on Stranger Things.
I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
If it happens.
So if we start each of those and we go, I just couldn't turn it off and now I'm exhausted and haven't slept for 2 days, that's a good thing.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Done.
All right. So we'll do that. And so if anybody out there who's listening to the show has any suggestions on what we should be watching.
Or they want to watch it with us.
Yes. Please let us know. We are very easy to find. You can find us on Facebook And Twitter, we are Be Our Geek. You can also email us at BeOurGeek@gmail.com. We'll do that. And you can always get a hold of us if you just want to go find Jayden at TwinCitiesFilmFest.org. There are some very exciting things that are coming up very soon. And we will see some of you at the Twin Cities Actors Expo, which is later this month. So make sure you get some information about that as well. Am I missing anything, Jayden?
You're good.
All right. We have homework assignments,
let's
everyone.
Binge.
So let's watch it all together. And we appreciate you joining us for this episode. And hopefully we'll see you next time on Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something.